Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the Mr. Fantastic, Aaron Zommers, on the board, here to take care of all your audio needs, also to screen your calls lightly and say, hello, I'm Aaron. What do you say when you answer the phone, by the way?
Hey, thanks for listening to the Todd Albaugh Show. Can I have your name and where you're calling from?
That's amazingly kind. See, that's exactly why we love having you as our producer, because you're polite, you're nice, you're a good guy.
I do my best.
That's the vibe we want here at the old show. So thank you, Aaron. That's what you'll hear if you give us a call here on the old Albaugh Show. It's going to be a great hour here this hour. At the bottom of the hour, ongoing friend and contributor of the show, Keegan Kelly from Cracked. Thank goodness Cracked starts with a C, or to be C, KKK.
Oh, that would be bad, right. Yeah.
It's Keegan Kelly from Cracked, with a C, cracked.com. Great writer, great guy. He is going to be along to talk about an obscure sitcom on TV, but it starred a lot of famous people. So you'd think, well, if you have, you know, like a lot of famous people, the show would do very well. Not always the case. My question is going to be, was the writing terrible?
And I don't know. All I know is that it's so obscure. When I tried to find the theme song of the show to use when we're talking about it, yeah, it's not on YouTube.
Really?
When is something not on YouTube?
I don't know.
That doesn't happen. So this must be very obscure.
Very obscure. So Keegan Kelly will talk about that. And also, talking a little South Park. Is it offensive or no, or more offensive? And the offensiveness, perhaps, of South Park. I don't know. But it's timely. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas might say, because I was out in Denver here last month seeing my friends Joe and Rachel and their wonderful Labradoodles, fantastic Labradoodles. And it was the Broadway tour of Book of Mormon. And if you have never seen this show, go and see it next time it visits your town. Or if you find yourself in New York, New York, go see it on Broadway. It's a great show written by the same guys who created and write for South Park. So I'm going to ask Keegan Kelly, how does this all relate to South Park? And we'll talk about our Book of Mormon, and we'll talk about that. So it's always a great conversation with Keegan Kelly. So looking forward to that at the 1:30 hour. And then coming up at 2 o'clock, our bonus hour, hour three, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit of current events and taking your phone calls as well. So all that ahead, two more hours of the old Albaugh Show for a Thursday, February 8th, 2024. By the way, we should cover this because we had people ask. Mr. Zommers has an eclectic closet of shirts that he brings out. And tell us today, for those watching on the stream, they could see, but for those listening, tell us what you are wearing today, Mr. Zommers.
So today I'm wearing a black t-shirt that has five different pictures. Is it five? Yeah, five different pictures of Britney Spears on it. And it says Britney on the top, Spears on the bottom.
Yeah.
So the reason I have this Britney Spears t-shirt is because I share a birthday with her. And my youngest sister likes to joke about that all the time. So this was my birthday present from her this December.
That's fantastic, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Do you find yourself listening to a lot of Britney Spears music on your birthday?
Usually on my birthday, yeah.
All right.
And, you know, in around it. And I feel like, you know, Britney Spears has some really good songs.
All right. By the way, my suggestion we were talking about last hour, that maybe we do a bit called Live Grinder or Grinding Todd's Gears or something to see if Todd could get a date. And we do this on the air. And this was a takeoff from the James Corden show, Late Late Live Tinder, which they had somebody do like a live Tinder here on the old Late Late show that, you know, is now off the air. And Mom texts in and she says, "You're sounding too desperate. Don't sell yourself short." It's not desperate, Mom. See, this is why your parents should not listen to your show, because they take things too literally. It's a bit, Mom. It's a bit.
It's just for the sake of comedy.
It's for laughs. It's to give people some lightheartedness.
And if something else comes of it, then cool.
Well, right, right. I mean, if I find myself a date, that's fine, but it's a bit. It's just to have some fun. Mom says, "I'm sounding too desperate." Anyway, we know we have at least one listener. So, well, I have some more as well. So we appreciate that. Anyway, let's change gears a little bit here. I want to get to this because I think it's interesting and important. So the only real opposition at this point to Donald Trump getting the Republican nomination for president is South Carolina's former governor, former ambassador to the UN under Trump, Nikki Haley. Haley, of course, lost the Republican primary in Nevada this week to none of the above. That is not a bit. That's real. None of the above beat Nikki Haley in Nevada. But as Trevi also reminded us here yesterday, the important thing I think on that is the 20,000 plus people who voted for Nikki Haley in Nevada. And if all those 20,000 or a large portion of them don't vote for Trump, or even worse for Trump, vote for Biden, Biden wins Nevada, which could be a very key state this November.
So it's funny, but also actually not a bad thing.
Right. Yeah, funny, but not. Well put. So tonight is the Republican sham caucus. And the reason I'm calling it a sham caucus is because it's being run largely by MAGA Republicans who are election deniers, several of which have already said Trump's going to win. So they've just decided before they even take a vote. So Trump's going to win big tonight. It won't even be close, but it's a sham result. But that means, because the Republican Party controls the delegate system, it means that those delegates from Nevada are going to go to Trump automatically tonight.
You know, if it weren't for professionalism and news, I think when they started talking about this, just saying, why don't we skip all the rest of the primaries and just make him the nominee? I think it would have been interesting if like AP or something put out an article that says like, all right, AP calls the race. President Trump has been made the nominee right. of the party before any of the primaries.
And to your point, you're right. That would disrepute the Associated Press.
At the same time, it would have gotten clicks and people would be like, oh, really? They're saying that?
Right. And that's true. So the Republicans here, they had a big loss yesterday when they could not, in the House of Representatives, when Speaker Johnson thought he was going to be a smarty pants and impeach the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas. And of course, Mayorkas has done a pretty good job all in all. And the basis of the impeachment, Republicans were saying, well, you haven't stopped all undocumented people from coming across the border. News alert. News alert. No president has ever stopped all undocumented people from coming across the border.
No president can.
No president can. And further to that point, Congress has not appropriated the necessary amount of money it would take to detain all those people and do the job. So it was a sham thing to begin with, this attempted impeachment against Alejandro Mayorkas. And the Republicans came up a couple of votes short. Didn't take, as George Costanza once said. One of the Democrats actually checked themselves out of the hospital, came and arrived in a hospital gown with no shoes in order to vote to prevent this from happening. I guess Speaker Johnson didn't think that Democrats had the fortitude.
Yeah, so, and then afterwards in interviews, he said something along the lines of, well, we would have had this, but people we didn't expect to be there showed up.
Right. People actually had passion about democracy. So that was a loss. Then Republicans over in the Senate, they decided to back out of the bipartisan deal on immigration that would actually do real good and real funding. And now Republicans are stopping aid to Ukraine. It has not been a good week for MAGA Trump Republicans in the House of Representatives. And oh, by the way, Rona McDaniel. She used to go by Rona Romney McDaniel. Trump literally told her she had to change her name because she was Mitt Romney's relative. She acquiesced to everything he wanted, but now Trump earlier on the weekend called for her ouster, and yesterday Rona McDaniel, because Trump said she should, resigned. Nikki Haley, a revered conservative in the Republican Party running against Trump, had this to say from the campaign trail yesterday.
Republicans lost a bill on the border. Republicans lost a bill on supporting Israel. The RNC chair lost her job. Donald Trump was found that he's not immune from any of the charges that are coming up. It is total chaos.
I want you to save that clip, and we're going to play that a lot over the next few months.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What is it? It is total chaos. Or as my former classmate, I believe this was freshman year of high school, great teacher, I'm trying to remember her name. It'll come to me in a second. Anyway, in Richland Center High School, freshman year, I was a literature class or elementary or English. My classmate, Kurt Brockway, used to be, chaos was one of the vocabulary words. And he intentionally just, Miss Dodsworth, that was her name, Ann Dodsworth. And just to tick off Miss Dodsworth, Kurt Brockway kept calling it chaos.
Oh my gosh.
So the Nikki Haley declaring the Republicans are in chaos or chaos. The question is, are Republicans in chaos? Do you agree? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Are Republicans in chaos? We go to the phone lines up to beautiful Green Bay. Do not drive there. They'll ticket your butt. Stephen in Green Bay, what say you?
I have a feeling I'm going to have this dark cloud of you will get ticketed if you come to Green Bay.
It's not
hovering
you
over my head for the next couple of weeks.
It's not you, mind you. It's a lovely city, and I love the people there. It's just that Todd got a couple of tickets when he was there parking. Anyway, go ahead. That's not the subject. Are Republicans in chaos, Stephen? We ask you.
A couple of quick things before I get to my main point.
Sure.
First of all, we can't have you sounding desperate on the radio, Todd. So you better watch out. Secondly, I heard the bit you made for your show with one of my calls on Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm very honored that you chose that. Well, I was very honored that you did that. So thank you.
Our pleasure. You're welcome. It was all Mr. Zomer's work, but go ahead.
Now, on this whole Republican sham party, which really the fact that we're still calling the Republican Party a party, they're really not even a party. They're more like a bunch of toddlers in a sandbox throwing mud balls at each other. And then the others are screaming that, you know, they got the mud in their eyes and they're trying to get it out as fast as they can.
Right.
But I saw something yesterday.
Hey, hang on, Stephen. Stephen, take it on the other side. Going to be back after this. Don't go anywhere. 1 minute and we're back. It's the All Balls Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Ready Network. Media Radio Network. It is whipping out. Well, the winds aren't whipping yet, but it's looking, it could. We could have a tornado in February.
And we got to whip the Republican Party into shape. No, they can't do it themselves. I don't think anyone else can.
I think they're opposed to S&M. That's just what I've heard.
Well, no, they're opposed to other people doing it.
Right.
They still do it behind closed doors.
Matt Gaetz enjoys it, or so I hear. 20 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. Always great to have you along. We were talking with Stephen in Green Bay before we had to step out for a moment. We are back. Stephen, thanks for sticking with us. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Yeah, so I was going to say there's something that I saw from the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and his press conference after the failures of the bill that they were voting on, where he said, well, you know, I guess I made a mistake. I didn't have everyone on board, but we're going to bring this up again later, you know, when I can, you know, yell at the people that, you know, didn't vote the way that I wanted them to. And then we'll vote on it again. Do these people, like, actually have no shame? The fact that they're going to literally go on TV and be like, okay, we lost. Because there are some people that have an R behind their name that actually still do have a little bit, like an ounce of decency and actually voted the right thing. But we don't like that result. So actually what we're going to do is we're going to, you know, we're going to have a talk with them, probably put them in timeout for a little bit. And then we're going to come out and try this again.
No,
Are you kidding me?
I think you're right, Stephen. And, you know, I think that many of them don't have any shame. Or at least, you know, we've talked about this with Trygve Olson before and others, that many of these Republicans know that they're on the wrong side of history. But because they're either fearful of their political lives, or in some cases, and this is not a joke, they are fearful of their or their family's lives if they cross the Trump line, if they cross the MAGA line. We talked about this with Trygve, your own congressman there that represents Green Bay, Gallagher, Mike Gallagher, voted this week against impeaching Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas. And listening to Matt Air on Air this morning, they were talking about that there's already blowback in the 8th Senate, 8th Congressional District there in Northeast Wisconsin, that Gallagher, that some of the Republican Party chairs of the counties in the 8th District are already saying that they're done. They're canceling out by Gallagher, a conservative congressman, because of one vote. I don't get it, Stephen.
You know, and I'll just say this real quick and then I'll hop off. Those people that are saying in Northeast Wisconsin that are saying they're disappointed in Mike Gallagher, they better watch out, because there are some Democratic people that are looking to run against him.
Yep.
And whether they know it or not, but by saying that out loud, they're kind of helping those other people out.
Yeah. I mean, Pat Kreitler has had those people on Up North News Radio. We're going to have folks on as well. So appreciate the call as always, Stephen. Thank you so much. Our ongoing contributor, Jeff Perry. Jeff Perry, what say you, my friend?
Hey, Todd. Well, first of all, I have some bad news to report.
All right, give it to us.
After a lengthy and, quite frankly, contentious negotiation process, I've been forced to fire my backup singers, the Jeftones.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that did not work out.
These things happen. But when you said this, I had to call in and do a joke that I'm going to steal from Steve Martin.
Please
do. The GOP is indeed against S&M, Spaniards and Mexicans. Thank you very much.
If nothing else, Jeff Perry always knows how to steal a bit. and to do it well on top of it. Was that a recent thing? When did he say that? That's fantastic.
That's decades old. That was one of his albums in the 70s.
But isn't that fantastic? I mean, is it both fantastic and sad that it still applies?
I know.
Right? All right, Jeff. Right. Thank you. Always, go ahead.
Thanks,
Todd. Anything else?
I was just going to say my favorite part of the whole debacle was Marjorie Taylor Greene going on TV and basically saying the Democrats cheated when the impeachment vote failed. That was my favorite.
They
part
had
the
people
thing.
Actually show up and vote, and that's not fair.
That was great.
I mean, right? I mean, holy cow. Talk about bimbos at S&M. But anyway, great to hear from you as always, Jeff. Have a great day. 844-967-2789. Quickly to Appleton, beautiful Appleton, home of Harry Houdini. Cindy, what say you?
Hello. Well, I just would like to say that I think Nikki Haley gave the Republicans too much credit when she said they were in chaos, because you can still come back from chaos. I think they are more in shambles, and I don't think they're going to ever come back.
Appreciate the call, Cindy. I as a former Republican, I agree with you. I don't know how the party ever gets – and people might not like the old, quote-unquote, Republican Party from 20 years ago, but I don't know how we even get back to that. I agree with Cindy. 844-967-2789. Quickly to Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, thanks for holding. We'll see you.
Yeah, thanks. Just processing news that I've heard today. Apparently, Sean Hannity on there, he was – complimenting what the Guardian Angels for whooping on some poor guy because he was speaking Spanish and they thought he was a migrant.
Yep.
He was more coming from Brooklyn to a different neighborhood, and he was actually an American citizen that they were whooping on. That brought to mind that I can remember one time being in a St. Vincent de Paul where some people were complaining about people speaking Spanish at a St. Vincent de Paul, and they go, how ironic that is here's a kind of a Catholic institution, and they were upset somebody's speaking Spanish in there. And that for the Republicans that are, to switch subjects a little bit, these Republicans complaining about, or not Republicans, but people worried about getting death threats and threats of violence against them. what needs to happen is law enforcement needs to get actively involved in these things. Yeah. Somebody gets calls in a phone threat. Law enforcement needs to come down on those people making those threats with both feet. And those people need to spend some time in jail.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Mark. I'm sorry, we're up against the clock here. Mark, always appreciate your call. Agree with you. Thank you so much. Let's go quickly out to beautiful Southwest Wisconsin, home of our very own news director, Terry Bell, in Crawford County. Ross, in Crawford County, what say you?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Todd. Thanks. My thing is, regarding the Republican Party, right now it seems like they're off the rail, right? We see it's a party that's being run by kind of a non-compromising group of people that it's hard to sometimes figure out exactly what it is they want. But I think it's sort of as people who aren't aren't Republicans, so some of us, those of us who are Democrats, we need to look at this because sometime in the future, the shoe may be on the other foot, that we may have a wing within our Democratic Party, which will sort of, you know, could potentially sort of try to, quote, take over the party. And, you know, and it would sort of be non-compromising. Right now it's the Republicans. If this country even gets to the future, I'm being a little bit negative there, but I sometimes think that our time may be coming, that we should also just pay attention to this in the bigger picture.
I appreciate it. And I agree with you. You know, it's always good to be vigilant. And right now I agree with Stuart Stevens from Lincoln Project, a former Republican operative, that there's only one major political party in America that still actually defends and supports democracy in word and deed, and that is the Democratic Party. But I agree, you never know what could come next. Remember, as Charles from Milwaukee reminds us, Lindsey Graham said in 2016, if we nominate Trump, we will get destroyed, and we will deserve it. That's what a Republican said. Lindsey Graham, he was right. Back with Keegan Kelly on the other side. It's the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
To whip it, whip it good. And now it's up to me, and it's time to man up. Jesus had his time, and now it's mine to man up.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have along with us Mr. Zomer's dial up a little soundtrack there from Book of Mormon. We'll explain why that connects in kind of a little bit later in this segment. Has to do with South Park and the creators thereof. But right now we are joined by the wonderful and talented Keegan Kelly from the great site called Cracked.com. Keegan's been here before. Of course, we always appreciate him being here. Keegan, welcome back to the program. How the heck have you been?
I've been great, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
It is always a pleasure. Always love your insight here. And what caught our eye was this article that came out just a couple of days ago here on Cracked.com. People can dial it up. C-R-A-C-K-E-D. Cracked. Like I cracked my head. A lot of people accuse me of that. But cracked.com, Keegan Kelly here. The title of the article is What Exactly is Going On with a Mysterious Wesley Snipes, Kelsey Grammer, Saudi Arabia Cryptocurrency Series? And I want to read the first line. It says, Fraser Crane is filming a cryptocurrency TV show in Saudi Arabia with Wesley Snipes and John Lovitz. But you'll probably never see it. Well, right there. That's just gold because you got my attention. I'm in for the whole thing. Explain, Keegan Kelly, what is going on here?
See, that's a question that just leads to more questions. The more you look into this show, this is, without hyperbole, the most bizarre entertainment project I've ever come across. So this series, it's called Paper Empire.
All right.
They're in the middle of shooting their third season in an oasis city in Saudi Arabia, whose name I won't attempt to pronounce.
All right.
And they have this big, long list of movie stars and TV stars. We mentioned Wesley Snipes, Kelsey Grammer. There's also Denise Richards is in the whole series. Steve Guttenberg, Cuba Gooding Jr. It's really a
show me the money, Cuba Gooding Jr. All right. Exactly, Oscar, yeah, Oscar Award winner, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, no, the casting director of this stopped watching movies in 1999. It's really, you know, it's everyone from that era is in this show. Right. And they're filming their third season right now. But the weird thing is the first season hasn't even come out. It hasn't aired on any streaming platform. It's not on TV. No one's ever seen a single episode of this show besides the production staff. There's no, it's all run by this very strange man named Robert Gillings.
All right.
He started this show, I believe, in 2020. And they keep pumping out these episodes. Mm. And they keep adding names. And it keeps getting written about in all of, like, the Hollywood trades in all of these papers. Like, oh, this person's going to have a guest role on this show. But there's no mention anywhere of a release date, of any major studio attached to it, of any platform attached to it. Right now, there's no plan in sight for this show to ever be released anywhere. And it just continues to grow and grow. And it is an international endeavor. And it's really baffling.
Answer me this. I'm just trying to give them the benefit of the doubt for a second. Could this just be one of the best marketing ploys ever of just building this thing up and the mystery so people like us talk about it so that it does get released and people just can't wait to actually see it? Because, I mean, Mr. Zombers, there is, correct, an actual trailer that is out, but it would not pass FCC muster for a broadcast radio program in terms of language, so we can't play it, right, Mr. Zombers?
Right, correct. Yeah, I watched it. It's like a 2.5-minute trailer. Kelsey Grammer's in the trailer, and basically they're talking about dark money. From what I can tell, Kelsey Grammer's hired some sort of financial advisor, and he's like, what the hell is going on? This doesn't make any sense. And they're like, you're complaining that we're making all this blank money? What's wrong with you? And that's
pretty much it.
Yeah.
So, Keegan Kelly, to this point, the show is talking about dark money. Could truth be stranger than fiction here?
I should start, you know, I'll backtrack a little and give the synopsis that we have available.
Yes.
And, you know, keep in mind, we're taking this show's word for what it's actually about, because no one's seen it. It all revolves around like a hedge fund manager, like a Bernie Madoff type, who's running a Ponzi scheme. And it all comes crashing down. The, you know, police knock down his door. He goes to prison. Mm. And this guy, you know, was supposed to have billions and billions of dollars. And he claimed that he spent it all and it's all gone. But secretly, he funneled it into like cryptocurrency, into this like crypto account that no one can get a hold of. So there's just billions of dollars in Bitcoin floating around out there. And Russian mobsters are trying to get into it. And, you know, the FBI is on it. It's this all this international intrigue.
Uh-huh.
And to your point, could this all just be a marketing scheme? If it is, then they should probably invest in a better website. Because, oh, Lord.
Really?
When you go to the website, it's like a web 1.0. None of the links work. There's supposed to be previews for all of these unreleased episodes, but the only one you can actually watch is of the season one finale. And mind you, we've never seen the premiere. Yeah, this is
what the heck?
We have a little teaser of what's going to happen in the 10th episode, and you know we're no closer to ever seeing the first one. It's such a bizarre operation. I think that if this is a marketing ploy, I owe it to them to watch every single episode, subscribe to whatever streaming service picks this up, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm with them till the end if this is all intentional.
And again, it's called Paper Empire. But to your point, you in your research, you haven't found like, you know, Paramount Plus or Disney or Netflix or Apple TV. There's no studio, there's no streamer. Do you even reckon, do we know like who the creator, producer, showrunner, anything like that?
We do know the creator. This is a man named Robert Gillings. If you go to his IMDb page, it is very sparse on credits. Every project he's done up until now has seemed to be self-produced.
Okay.
And I assume this is moderately so. But in his IMDb profile, his bio is even more bizarre. And it's very clearly, you know, in these things, they're just these little blurbs that someone's agent writes to give interested people a little something behind the scenes about these people in entertainment.
Sure.
And he describes himself as famous for winning divorce proceedings against his wife and winning custody of their two sons. You know, and he talks about how he was emotionally devastated by the, you know, he's a New York native, and he was devastated by the attacks of 9/11, and it inspired him to become an architect and design a new World Trade Center, but the plans weren't used when they were rebuilding.
Okay.
It's so.
Okay. I just got to step in here for a second because, you know, as former Wisconsin basketball coach Bull Ryan once told me, I might have been born on a weekend, but it wasn't last weekend. So you're telling me some dude that has basically no history in this business, certainly no credible history, and is kind of just a sham profile, is the creator and maybe showrunner of this thing. There's no studio. There's a couple of snippets of the season finale of Finale 1. We haven't seen the first episode. But yet, they've picked up people like Kelsey Grammer, Frasier, who's back as Frasier, streaming on Paramount, right? You got Wesley Snipes, John Lovett, Cuba Gooding Jr. To me, this sounds like people with a lot of money being paid a lot for their name, but really no product. But what would that be, Keegan-Kelly?
Ooh, I need to use some lawyer-friendly words for this, but we people who've been following the entertainment industry close will know that tax write-offs are a big deal right now. Who the tax write-off would be for, I don't understand, but there's a lot of money to be made in creating a TV show or a movie and never releasing it to the public. But the other option, which this is my own speculation. Right. I have no evidence to support this. But to the earlier point, a show about dirty money might actually be about cleaning money. Right. Perhaps laundering it, some would say.
Speculation, purely speculation.
Complete speculation.
Right.
No evidence, only my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I'm really running out of plausible explanations for how this has gone so far. Again, they're filming a third season. It's unheard of to even right. film a single season without, you know, having a platform behind you, or at least a major studio or a release date. But three seasons is so bizarre that it really strains.
And what you laid out there a couple minutes ago, or a minute ago or so, what you laid out, the synopsis, is basically the synopsis for the musical The Producers, right? Where the whole thing was, you can make more money with a flop than with a hit. You know, just write something that's never going to go anywhere. It's going to shut down before it begins, and you get all the money. I mean, that's literally the theme, the storyline for The Producers.
Oh yeah, and I mean, if that's what's going on here, they could have at least thrown in a few songs in the trailer.
Right?
I don't know. You know, I do with some dancing fascists instead of Kelsey Grammer's, you know, concerned face. It's, yeah, I mean, I really do recommend. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and I mean, have we heard? I mean, these people are doing other media, right? I mean, Kelsey Grammer is trying to get, you know, people to watch his reboot of Frasier on Paramount Plus. You got Wesley Snipes, John Lovett. I mean, these people aren't just sitting in caves. Has anybody asked them about this project that you found?
I haven't found anything. The only interviews that I've seen with any cast members, it's all been talking about Saudi Arabia and what it's like to film in Saudi Arabia and how happy they are to be in Saudi Arabia.
Now I don't know if we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
We're getting somewhere.
I don't know if the Tourism Bureau of Saudi Arabia had some part in it or another entity within the country.
It sounds a lot like the World Cup in Dubai or Saudi Arabia or wherever the hell it was. I mean, this is what these people do. They have a lot. They have billions and billions and billions of dollars. And it's all. And there was a 60 Minutes story on this. Basically, the sports washing of this part of the world where there is basically slave labor that builds these extravagant sports things and they quote-unquote westernize it or Americanize it and talk about how great this is, but it's really about distracting from what's happening to human rights in Saudi Arabia and Dubai. To me, this just fits the bill. My speculation, my words, but it seems to add up to me towards something like that.
That would make a lot of sense. What would confirm that is if some Saudi Arabian TV station actually right. picked up the project.
Right.
You know, they're not paying Cristiano Ronaldo to, you know, hang out on, you know, on his private jet on the tarmac. Right. They're paying him to go in front of these giant crowds and perform and draw attention. So I think that, you know, if that is their plan, they got to at least release it.
That's a great point.
You got to show Saudi Arabia.
Right. That's a great point. It's a mystery to me, Keegan Kelly. Keegan Kelly from crack.com is our guest. So any more on this, we're going to move on to the other subject here. But any more on this great story, again, you can find it at crack.com called What Exactly Is Going On with the Mysterious Wesley Snipes, Kelsey Grammer, Saudi Arabia Cryptocurrency Series. Anything more on this one?
Please watch the trailer.
Yes.
That's all I can say.
I'm anxious to see it. Mr. Zomers has, but we'll come back, talk a little South Park. Is this generation just too easily offended? Keegan Kelly will enlighten us on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Thursday across to Wisconsin and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Myself, hail to me. I'm the crowd who's out to change our history. Hail myself, raise your hand. There's no greater dictator in the land.
Everything. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. Little live audio from the Florida Republican Convention there. So, no, actually, that's from the producers, of course. It's from the producers. Welcome back to the show. It is 9 minutes now before the hour of 2 o'clock. Keegan Kelly is our guest. We always love having him on the program. He is with cracked.com. You can find all of his work there. Some great articles by Mr. Kelly. Keegan, always glad to have you along. So another musical I was talking about earlier was Book of Mormon. And it was written, and I literally saw this show again for the third time about 3 weeks ago. I was visiting friends out in Denver, and it was playing out there, the Broadway tour performance of it, and in Fort Collins, actually. And Trey Parker and Matt Stone wrote this show, Book of Mormon, but as it really all started with this show called South Park, an animated series, and you wrote an article recently called South Park Fans Debate Whether the Generation Raised by South Park Is Too Easily Offended. You start out by saying, are the generations who grew up with South Park on TV too sensitive? Or are people who post memes about triggering young people on Facebook too stupid to see that South Park is making fun of them too? Again, a great opening line. Keegan Kelly, what say you on this?
Oh, I think you could probably predict. I'm leaning towards the second half of that sentence a little more.
Let's explain for people who aren't familiar. Again, Trey Parker and Matt Stone created this series. How long ago? I mean, South Park's been on for a long time, right?
It's been on since 1997.
Wow.
Since the beginning, there have been people trying to take it off the air. There have been people protesting it. There's been all sorts of groups across, you know, many different interests that have all kind of gotten in their feelings and gotten upset about some joke about, you know, whatever thing they care about that was depicted on the show. And just it's
not to interrupt, but just quickly, again, for people who aren't familiar, it's an animated series. Some people would say cartoons, but I know that's offensive to some people, but it's an animated series. And it's basically about these kids who take on different, you know, storylines or whatever. And oftentimes they're making fun of organized religion or political parties. And again, to your point, there have been times when it has, in some people's mind, crossed the line and they get very offended by things about this. And now, what's going on now?
Well, now there's, I would say, in my opinion, it's kind of the same thing that's been going on since the beginning, where whoever's been the target of South Park hasn't liked to be the target.
Right.
I would describe it as like iconoclast comedy, right, where they don't really have a firm ideology of their own. They're just kind of against the powerful. Or the influential, whatever's kind of important in the moment is what they're going to target. And it's ruffled feathers throughout its history, as I said. But there's really, I would say, a feeling among the South Park fandom right now, at least in online spaces, and that's where I live. I never leave the internet, so this is my only experience.
We appreciate you coming into the real world with us, Keegan.
Oh yeah, through this live stream,
right.
It's really great. But there is this feeling that you know, the cultural conversations about political correctness or like quote unquote wokeism. Mm-hmm. South Park fans feel very strongly that these run against the beliefs of the show, or I guess the ideals that they've attached to South Park. So it's formed a kind of us against them mindset where, you know, anyone who's offended about anything, you know, must not be a South Park fan, because right, South Park fans laugh about everything and we're the right, cool ones. We're the ones who, you know, we have thick skin. And there was the thread that I was writing about in this article. It was kind of a bunch of, I would assume, younger South Park fans kind of pushing against the idea that the younger generations just don't get comedy like South Park. That they can't delve into touchy subjects, that they don't like edgy humor. And the point that they were making, which really resonated with me, is that, you know, comedy fans today just have a higher threshold for what's funny.
Right.
That, you know, when you do delve into these touchier subjects, that you need to have a higher degree of wit and, you know, originality and a point of view that maybe you didn't need to have in the late 90s, early 2000s, when the show was really picking up steam. Because I don't think anyone would disagree that, you know, you can get away with less nowadays when it comes to jokes that punch down, jokes about marginalized groups.
Right. And here off the text line, listening in on WMDX, Chris here in Madison says, I don't think that this generation is too easily offended. I think it's more likely that previous generations just tolerated people being a-holes for way too long.
For what it's worth, I agree with him.
That's an interesting take.
Absolutely. And I'm fully in agreement. And you know, to go further on that, specifically when it comes to South Park, I think a lot of the people who use that as an example of like, oh, you used to be able to say anything about anyone, you know, they kind of miss the point of it entirely. The point of the show and the point of a lot of the comedians that people think are, you know, the boundary pushers isn't to offend, it's to be funny.
Right.
That comes first. Mm-hmm. And that requires a stronger point of view and a higher level of skill than a lot of this stuff. I'd compare it to like a guy I don't really like is Andrew Dice Clay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a big, you know, he was a Brooklyn tough guy who right, made jokes about immigrants and gay people and, you know, really punched down and really pushed against the marginalized groups. And, you know, he couldn't do his act today.
No,
I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
Neither do I. I was never an Andrew Dice Clay fan myself either.
Oh, yeah. And I think that it's a benefit to the comedy world and to society as a whole that that kind of humor has gone away.
Right.
You know, you don't get the low-hanging fruits. You don't get to take the cheap shots under the belt, that you need to be funnier and have a higher level of skill to deal with these subjects.
Always great to have you along, Keegan. It goes too fast. Keegan Kelly from Cracked.com. You can find both these articles we talked about today. Thanks for your insight, Keegan, for your reporting, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
You too, Todd. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. Stay tuned. Hour 3 of the Todd Allball Show is next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Heading on up south, I'm going to see if I can't unwind. Come on down south, I'm going to meet some friends of mine.